You're listening to the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast, where we're always fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. And we're going to do it a little bit different today because I am your host, Franco Terrazano, your federal director here in Ottawa. I've got the reins, folks. I am hosting, not our wonderful Chris Sims, who is on the podcast as a guest. Chris, wave for the camera over there. I like your outfit. What are
Thanks.
You? Are you a lieutenant over there? What are you?
Yes, I am. I've got my pips on my collar. I'm a Starfleet lieutenant. For people who are only listening on audio, this might be the one time you want to tune into the video. Because, yeah, I've got a full-on Star Trek Next Generation uniform. This communicator even works. So,
I love
that. We're ready to rock.
And if she hits her little button there, we'll know that she's in southern Alberta holding down the fort over there in the Wild Rose country. As always, we also have another guest on the show, our investigative journalist, Ryan Thorpe, who's actually just right behind me here in our Mordor office in Ottawa. Ryan, the reason you're on the show today is because you've dug up maybe the craziest example of government waste that I've ever read about. And that is saying a heck of a lot. Ryan, why don't you go through the details and we'll get Simmer to weigh in on it.
Yeah, for sure. So this story is yet more proof, if we needed it, that there are far too many federal bureaucrats here in Ottawa with far too many of our tax dollars and too much time on their hands. So the Department of National Defense spent $32,000 funding an intersectional feminist report on outer space. I'm going to say that again one more time, an intersectional feminist report on outer space. So we obtained a copy of this report. We read through it so our listeners don't have to. And the report concluded that current approaches to outer space are heavily Western, state-centric, militarized, masculinized, and colonial, and that they encourage practices that are racist, exploitative, elitist, and environmentally destructive. So there's a couple of quotes here I just want to read off because some of this stuff is so crazy. I think people just need to hear it for themselves. So these are quotes from the report. Terms such as mankind, astronauts, and envoys of mankind, man's entry into outer space, manned and unmanned stations of the moon, manned spacecraft, and man-made are gender biased. The report goes on to claim that colonial-based terms like exploration and conquest normalize violence and exploitation by depicting space as a hostile and desolate environment that is unpeopled, inhuman, and controlled so it can provide an extractable resource. And they suggest that we should better incorporate spirituality, astrology, and cosmology, the last of which views celestial bodies in space as animated beings and not mere objects, and that we should seek alternatives to dominant colonial ways of knowing. So that is a lot of woke word salad, but that is what this report is filled with. The report was produced by a group called Project Plowshares. So I looked them up. I'd never heard of them before. They describe themselves as a Canadian Peace Research Institute based out of the University of Waterloo. And they pitched this report to the Department of National Defense as an opportunity to draw on feminist and gendered analysis to apply a gender-based analysis understanding to Canadian and international space security policy. It also included briefings with DND, National Defense, the Canadian Armed Forces, and Global Affairs Canada, Q&As with government officials who I guess were sitting around a big table in some boardroom talking about all of this stuff. Cost taxpayers $32,000, and we were able to dig up four other research contracts that Project Plowshares has gotten from the Department of National Defense, totaling $155,000. So all told, these people have built about $190,000 out of taxpayers so far to produce work like this.
Huh. Well, I'll just ask you the obvious question, Chris. Like, I didn't know space was sexist. Did you?
One of the writers for the post-media chain, Brian Passifoom, said, set phasers to offended. And that's exactly what this report reads like. I was actually going through it last night, Ryan. I think it's more than 40 pages long. And initially you're reading it and it's like, okay, they just want peace and space. Maybe they're like the Vulcans and they're pacifists and they want to make sure, you know, we're not, you know, trying to populate planets by force. We want to make sure we're doing it peacefully. But then they get into all of these isms. Like racism, sexism, all this stuff. And it made me sad. It made me sad reading it because, number one, if I can get into this, because, you know, I dressed up for this. So in the real world, there are women in space, like right now, as we speak. They're orbiting our planet. There's already some on the International Space Station. And that guy, people might have heard of him, Elon Musk. He just launched two more women into space through his SpaceX program. They just did a spacewalk. They're the furthest from the surface of the planet that any human has ever been. So that was super cool. And as a lifelong person who's loved stargazing, both in reality and in fiction, it just was a big head scratcher as to why they picked this to grind this axe of, oh, this is gendered and sexist. No, it's not. Like, it's just not. Some of our earliest pioneers in space exploration and space science have been women. In fact, our own former governor general was an astronaut and a lady. So this just doesn't make sense. And what really piqued my interest, Franco and Ryan, is they even mentioned briefly, but they mentioned science fiction of being problematic as well, because the term frontier, space, the final frontier, as being bad. And Star Trek is actually one of the most inclusive, friendly, welcoming sort of fictional narratives you could ever have. Can I use the P word here? It's progressive. It always has been. They were breaking barriers back in the 60s when this stuff was pretty tough sledding. So this is one of those things where it was bizarre. And yeah, $32,250 in the grand scheme of things isn't that much money, but it's still taxpayers' money. This would be a waste of money if this were $3.
Yeah, you know, well, there's so many things I want to say here, but I got to choose my words wisely here, right? Before we give old man McKay or boss a heart attack. So let me just say this, like, you mentioned Julie Payette, her former governor general, who was an astronaut. And now Payette was no penny pincher when she was a governor general, but we're pretty sure that even she could identify this report as being a waste of taxpayers' money, even all the way up in orbit. The second thing that comes to my mind is also a huge Trekkie every night as I try to fall asleep. I listen to some Star Trek. Yeah, on Netflix, right by my head. Maybe that's why I'm so crazy all the time talking to you folks. But, you know, I was just thinking, geez, I'm happy that Captain Catherine Janeway never read this report. But, you know, back to the main issue here, right? Because, like, at the end of the day, if these professors want to waste their own time and their own money writing this, and, like, I don't know, fill your boots. But like, this is $32,000. And Chris, like, you're right. Like, if you look at the grand scheme of a $535 billion federal budget, well, this is just a very small, minuscule, tiny portion of that. But like, let's look at what $32,000 could actually mean for people, right? If you look at people's income tax bills, like, $32,000 is a neighborhood's worth of federal income tax bills. Right? Like, people are struggling. Like, think about the families who had to fund this report through their tax dollars. You know, I bet you a lot of money, I bet you 32 grand, that this report isn't even among the top 1,000 concerns of the families who are struggling to get by and who are forced to fund this type of report. You know, so just to bring it back to the dollars and cents, like, it's this type of spending from a federal government that just doesn't seem to understand how hard people work for the money they earn and the taxes they pay, where the government just thinks like, oh, you know, we can just give $32,000 on a report that won't materially impact the vast majority of Canadian families' lives who are struggling to put hamburger meat in their fridge.
Yeah, for sure. This would actually pay, I did the math, this would pay a year's worth of good groceries for like a few families. And they chose to spend it on this. And I just want to read from the report again, because it just, Ryan, great work digging this up, by the way. Like, I don't know how you got through this, writing it down without just stopping and laughing when you were transcribing it. So this was one of my favorites. Okay. So despite concern over, quote, gender biased language, the report notes, quote, women and other genders are not, for the most part, present in outer space. Okay, so do they mean in orbit? Because, yeah, they are. There are women up there right now. Do they mean on other planets? Who are they to say there are no women on other planets? That's super Earth-centric of them, isn't it? My point here is that once you start chasing this tiger and trying to grab it by the tail, all you will do is get offended and waste taxpayers' money while you're being offended. And to your point, Franco, you're right. If these folks, if some academic or some group wants to spend their own money and time saying, like, space, the final frontier, is sexist, fill your moon boots. But don't waste taxpayers' money doing it.
Yeah, Ryan, you know, what was one of the interesting things that caught your eye when you're going through this? Like, kind of take us behind the scenes and what it takes for you to kind of dig through these types of documents. Like, pull the curtain behind, take our supporters behind the curtain to kind of understand how you can actually go about digging this type of information up.
Yeah, for sure. So any sort of grant that the federal government gives out, there's a website you can go on, you can go through them, and it's, you know, thousands and thousands. So in some sense, you're kind of looking for a needle in a haystack a little bit, because there's just so much information on there. But we stumbled across this particular grant, and it was kind of vaguely described as something related to a feminist analysis in outer space. So that just naturally piqued my interest, because I don't know, it's just not every day you come across something like that. So at that point, what I did was I filed an access to information request, or a series of access to information requests, to the Department of National Defense to try and get my hand on any sort of records that was related to this. Then the waiting game begins, and you kind of wait for months and months until eventually you get a response back. What we were able to obtain was the funding agreement. So it was these academics, when they were initially pitching this to DND, exactly what they laid out, what they were going to do with the money and how much they were seeking. And then we also got back DND's approval of the funding request. At that point, after reading through all of that, I tracked down the report itself, which I think was 49 pages. It was around 50 yeah. pages. And I read through that. And it was, to put it bluntly, it was more ridiculous than I could have ever expected it to be. And there were moments when I was going through it that I was kind of chuckling to myself reading some of the things that were in that report. And then at that point, it's just a matter of kind of picking out the bits of information that we want to raise attention to and putting it together into a story.
Chris.
It is really something. I would recommend people read Ryan's report on this. It's on our website. You can also, a lot of the newspapers have picked it up. Brian, like we were mentioning earlier, Brian Passapoom did a great job in the Sun Media newspaper chain. So do go check this out. And I just wanted to, if I can get serious for a second here in my Starfleet uniform. Franco, I noticed you didn't wear yours today. We agreed. Now you got me hanging. So just to people who love space exploration and science, whether they're girls or boys, it doesn't matter. Or if they love science fiction, same thing. Like my daughter, all my kids love science fiction and they love science. My daughter's pursuing sciences. Don't let this kind of stuff get you down. Okay. If you're pursuing STEM, if you want to go, you know, populate Mars, you go for it. Don't let all these isms and like miserable analysis get you down. Because this stuff really doesn't matter. What matters here is the waste of taxpayers' money on something this silly. But to the folks who are listening who are truly into this and you're a young person wanting to pursue it, go for it. Don't let this stuff hold you back.
Yeah, folks. So $32,000 is what the Department of National Defense spent, like a neighborhood's worth of income tax bills, just to put that into perspective there for you. And that was dug up by the CTF's investigative journalist, Ryan Thorpe. And folks, we couldn't have done this without you, right? It was your support of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation that allows us to have a taxpayer investigative journalist, a bloodhound for you, digging through these types of government documents. Because look, nobody would know about this. These types of costs, $32,000 on this woke report. Go woke. They go woke. You go broke, folks. If it wasn't for your support and us having an investigative journalist here in Ottawa going, pouring through these types of funding agreements and also just reading these 45-page reports so I and you don't have to. Now, I just want to shift gears ever so slightly because there is another story of a big-time waste of taxpayers' money. Ryan, what's going on?
Well, it appears the Trudeau government is gearing up to spend $7 million tax dollars on an ad campaign over the course of the next year and lead up to the next election on the carbon tax. So they seem to think that the big issue with the carbon tax is that people just don't understand how great it is. So they're going to take $7 million of all of our tax dollars and turn those into ads to try to convince Canadians.
$7 million.
$7 million.
Okay. Free comms advice to the Trudeau government. This is not a communication problem. Okay. Your communicator is working just fine. People are sick and tired of being fleeced with the carbon tax. Just scrap it and you'll solve your problem.
Yeah. You know, a couple of things come to my mind. Number one, like, this is a hugely unpopular tax. Canadians don't want the tax. And your first thought is, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to promote it more to Canadians that we're making their lives more expensive, that we're making it more expensive for them to drive to work, to heat their homes, to put food on the table. Yeah, that just doesn't sound that smart. You want to take more of our money to show Canadians that you're making their lives more expensive. It's crazy. Yeah. The only way that they're going to be able to build trust back with Canadians is if they can at this point is just scrap the carbon tax. Say, look, we made a mistake. Everyone wants us to scrap the carbon tax. We're going to scrap the carbon tax. And to your point, Chris, it's not really a communications problem. It's a carbon tax is making people's lives a more expensive problem. But the second thing, too, Ryan, you kind of touched on this, where they're in their mind, they think like, oh, the Rubes just don't know how good they've got it, right? If only they can listen to their trustworthy overlords who know better than them, then they would love the carbon tax. But of course, that's not reality. The reason that Canadians don't support the carbon tax is because it's so obviously making their lives more expensive, and it's an ineffective tax, right? A carbon tax that makes it harder for seniors to be able to afford to heat their homes during the winter, that's not solving a global emissions issue, right? A carbon tax that makes it more expensive for the mom to fuel up her minivan to take the kids to camp, like that doesn't solve a global emissions problem, right? Or make it more expensive for all Canadians to afford food. Like that's not solving the big end of the arithmetic issue. But another thing that I also want to point out is, like, we all know the carbon tax makes your life more expensive. This is another example of how the government is wasting our money on the carbon tax with a $7 million taxpayer-funded ad campaign. But let's not forget about the $1.7 million that the government is spending trying to push its failed carbon tax on other countries, right? The Trudeau government is trying to get other countries to adopt a carbon tax, is spending $1.7 million of our tax dollars doing it, and they're failing. And all you have to do to know that they're failing on that is look south of the border, the United States, where they do not have a national carbon tax, or the fact that 70% of countries around the world don't have a national carbon tax. And another way the government is wasting our money is that they're also spending $200 million paying the bureaucrats to administer the carbon tax. So not only are you getting soaked at the pumps, we're also getting fleeced by the fact that they're wasting all of this money on the carbon tax.
This is all highly illogical. I'm out. Sorry. Do we want to get to our taxpayer pro tip now, or are we still on spendiness? Because we can be here for the next week if we're going to just do spendiness.
Yeah, we could probably build a ladder up to the moon or the sun or something like that if we're talking about all the government waste. Ryan, why don't you kick us off with your taxpayer pro tip today?
Yeah, no, it's a good transition because mine does relate to the carbon tax. So we just saw federal NDP leader Jagmeet Singh suggest that the NDP is going to oppose the carbon tax federally. David Eby, the premier out in BC, just said that he would scrap the provincial carbon tax out there if a future federal government or the federal government at some point in time scraps it federally. Well, there is one other NDP premier in Canada right now, back in Manitoba, where I grew up, Wob Kanu. He's done some good stuff. He's suspended the provincial fuel tax out there, and he has specifically said this is to help people with affordability. So my taxpayer pro tip goes out to Premier Kanu. You got Singh, you've got Eby. Get off the bench, start calling for the federal carbon tax to be scrapped. Come on in. The water's fine.
Love it. Simmer, on to you.
Yeah, Canoe's pretty popular. Just again, free comms advice. He'd have a pretty big soapbox if he spoke up. Like, mm-hmm. sooner the better. He's pretty popular, so he'd get a lot of media to that, a lot of attention. My taxpayer pro tip is going out to a fellow, in relation to a fellow sci-fi fan. Premier Daniel Smith is a huge sci-fi fan. Don't know if she's a Trekkie, but I'll have to ask. The point here is that they're in a real listening mode right now because they're gearing up to their annual review, basically, that's going to be happening in November. So between now and, say, like mid-October, just before the legislature comes back, which is at the end of October, just after Thanksgiving in Edmonton, they're really listening right now. So when it comes to building their budget, when it comes to setting their priorities for the next sessional in the legislature. So if you have something that you want Premier Smith to focus on, for example, keeping the promise to cut our income tax here in Alberta, something like that, email them now. They're super listening right now. So to any folks who are here in Alberta who care about how we actually govern ourselves, especially when it comes to things like taxes and balanced budgets, email them now. It's a good time.
All right. So that's a good one. Very practical. Love it. I'll try to keep it quite short. My taxpayer pro tip goes out to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Take a look in the mirror. You know, at this point, we are hearing NDP politicians, including Premier David Eby, including the federal leader Jagmeet Singh, back away from the carbon tax. And, you know, I just saw a headline in the news, something to the extent of the prime minister saying that the NDP is caving into Polyev on the carbon tax and has no idea how to fight climate change. Something to that effect. OK, so it seems like Trudeau thinks everyone else is wrong. The vast majority of Canadians who don't support the carbon tax, conservatives, the NDP, the provincial politicians of all political stripes. Well, Mr. Trudeau, take a look in the mirror, because it's not everyone else that is wrong. It's you that are wrong. The reason the vast majority of Canadians and now politicians of all political stripes are starting to speak out is because the carbon tax is a tax that makes life more expensive and it's ineffective, and you should scrap the carbon tax. So pro tip to Mr. Trudeau, it's not everyone else that's wrong. It's you that are wrong on this, and you got to take a look in the mirror. With that, folks, we're going to wrap up our show. Thank you for watching or listening. And folks, to find the full story that Ryan dug up on the DND spending 32,000 smackaroos on an intersectional feminist report about outer space, head over to taxpayer.com to check out the full story. While you're there, read out all the other stories that we're breaking and writing about, and go to the petitions, sign a good petition. My favorite, scrap the carbon tax. And folks, at taxpayer.com is where you can join the taxpayer army, where you can stand up and be heard.